Okay, so we're back to you. We apologize for you having to wait, but we were completing the last hearing. Therefore, before we get started, let me welcome you to the Board of Executive Primacy. I just want to make sure that I know who I'm talking to. So what is your name, sir?
Luis Regalado.
Okay, sir. Well, we will be glad of your hearing, and the Honorable Mr. Luis Hernandez will be the lead panelist for your hearing. So if you, the next voice that you will hear will be that of the Honorable Mr. Luis Hernandez, sir. So please hang on to the phone.
Okay, sir, can you hear me clearly? Sir, can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Luis Regalado, 44652.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31412A hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. They are, you can see on your video conference screen, I will begin with the opposite side from me. The individual closest to you is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is the Honorable, our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis P. Dennis. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing, and next to me is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. And yes, ma'am.
Is your victim on the phone?
No, there's no victim on the phone. We do have Mr. Regalado.
Did you have a phone number?
Yes. I don't have a phone number that's been provided to us.
Mr.
Regalado? Yes, Mr. Regalado.
I was given this right on top there.
And that's the 520 number?
Yes.
And this is for a victim's representative?
Yes.
Thank you, ma'am. Just one second, Mr. Regalado, and we'll continue the hearing.
My name is Sarah.
But we do have a victim's representative who wants to listen to the hearing, okay, sir? So just give us a moment. We'll actually... Okay, Ms. Moody.
Yes, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. It was understanding that you wish to participate in a hearing today. Am I correct? This is a parole hearing?
Yes, this is Sarah Duarte.
Okay.
And Mr. Regalado is up for a hearing today?
Yes, ma'am. And the hearing is just now beginning. The Honorable Mr. Luis Hernandez is the lead panelist. So if you could just hold on, he will call on you at the appropriate time, ma'am.
Thank you.
Ms. Duarte? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I sure can.
I will be talking to Mr. Regalado here in a second. I just want to make sure that you know that I'm talking to him. But there will, as my board chairman stated, come a time near the end of the hearing that we'll ask for your input. Okay, ma'am?
That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, back to you, Mr. Regalado. I'll begin this
excuse
hearing.
Excuse me. Just one moment, please.
Jill,
I'm on a board hearing
from
Mr. Regalado,
the gentleman
who ordered my father to
speak to the
phone. I'm sorry, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm going to continue the hearing. Mr. Regalado, I will begin this hearing with the following summary. Mr. Luis Regalado is 63 years old. He is serving a life sentence for murder in the first degree, which occurred on or about March 8, 1984. He was approximately 29 years old at the time of the incident offense. It should be noted that he has a detainer from Texas Pardons and Paroles for a 1987 auto theft. Mr. Regalado pled guilty to murder in Arizona on October 21, 1987, and was sentenced on December 18, 1987. He's been parole eligible since September 18, 2012. He has a prior criminal history, which includes theft, burglary, and auto theft out of Nevada. Does this sound correct so far, Mr. Regalado?
No, I never had an incident in Nevada.
Okay. I'll double check that, and certainly will stand to correct. We did have a reference to a detainer out of Texas, though, for auto theft. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I will read a synopsis of the incident offense. On March 8, 1984, at approximately 9:25 a.m., the victim, the proprietor of a local bar, went to his bank and withdrew $60,000 to cash the checks of his patrons. As he returned from the bank, he was confronted by Mr. Regalado, who brandished a handgun and demanded money. Mr. Regalado fired at the victim as he chased him toward the bar. With the bag of money in hand, the victim ran into the bar with Mr. Regalado in close pursuit. Mr. Regalado fired once through a door leading behind the bar, striking the victim in the back. After taking the bag of money, Mr. Regalado fled. A medical examiner's report stated that the victim died of a gunshot wound, which entered the left mid-back region, lacerating the left rib, left lung, spinal cord, and fracturing the vertebral column before exiting the left shoulder. On April 29, 1987, Mr. Regalado was arrested for auto theft in El Paso, Texas. While in custody, he informed the El Paso County District Attorney's Office that he had information concerning the murder of the victim. He subsequently confessed his involvement in the incident offense and was extradited to Arizona on May 28, 1987, and was booked in Pima County Jail on charges of murder in the first degree and armed robbery. Mr. Regalado has completed moderate programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections. He has a detailed release plan, which includes acceptance at Victory Outreach Halfway House and seeking employment, Social Security benefits, and interstate compact to Texas. He has a moderate history of discipline in the Department of Corrections beginning in 1982 through 2017 to include tickets for drug possession, promoting prison contraband, and threatening behavior, with his last major on February 10, 2017 for disobeying a verbal order. This appears to be his 12th hearing before the board. He has no letters of support from family or the community. And Mr. Regalado, I'll ask you, did you have letters of support that may not be in my possession?
Yes, ma'am. My granddaughter was going to write one, and I have a cousin in Wichita, Kansas. They were going to write one. I don't know how late they send it.
Okay, sir.
That's why, sir?
Yes, I'm listening.
But that's why my parole plan was to parole to a halfway house here in Arizona, in Phoenix, and then while they would transfer my parole to El Paso, Texas.
Okay, sir. Just one second. Okay, Mr. Regalado, this is another opportunity for the board to get to know you. Can you tell us in your own words about the events that resulted in your incarceration? Thank you, sir.
Well, how you explain everything like that, the way it happened, you know, I was young, I was strung out on drugs, and I've had that problem for a long, long time. But I started to realize I lost, you know, I cannot experience, you know, how the victims, you know, family feels and everything, because I'm just going through that. I lost my mom, I lost my dad while incarcerated, you know, and right there I lost all my support. And really, you know, it, read everything. I couldn't be up there for my mom and dad, you know, what I put it through, you know, coming all the way from El Paso to visit me here, you know. And as you know, I was sent to different states. And that was hard on them. And now I'm going to be 64 next month and everything, you know. I put everything in your hands, you know. I want a chance, you know, just to at least spend some time with my granddaughter. And, you know, the only option is get on SSI. And plus, you know, I don't want to die here in prison. Really, you know, that's all I can say, you know. I'm very sorry. For what I did, that's the one reason, you know, why I turned myself in. Because, you know, I never done that before, you know. I was strung out and I was in debt with people, you know. I just missed my whole life. And mess up other people's lives. So I'm very sorry.
Well, thank you for your statement, Mr. Regalado. I do want to make a quick correction here, because I think I just misread the order that it was written down. Did you spend some time in Nevada in the prison system, like as a interstate contact transfer or Carson City?
Yes, sir.
Is that what it was?
Yes, sir.
Pardon me. I think I commingled an auto theft out of Texas with the fact that you were moved to Nevada, so I apologize for getting that out of order. I was just checking real quick, too. I was trying to figure out why Nevada was in my original summary, and that's the way it was written down. Sir, tell us a little bit about some of the disciplines at prison. I had stated that from 82 to 2017, you had tickets that included drug possession, promoting prison contraband, and threatened behavior. You had the last major in February 2017, which is about a year and a half ago. So I'm glad that it's been a while since you've had a major. But were you involved with drugs inside the prison system earlier during your incarceration, sir?
Yes, sir.
What was going on at that time?
Oh, I was using for a long time, you know. I was using and I got involved in selling drugs. That threatened, you know, that last ticket I had, you know, I think it was threatened. I was just mad at the sergeant of SSU, you know, and, you know, I said things that I didn't mean or anything, you know. But all the write-ups, even when I was at RAS, I started thinking, you know, of everything I've done in here, you know. But I'm clean now and everything, you know. I'm going to AA, NA. I just took, you know, my whole life on the board, you know, you people, you know. Even if I have to go to outpatient, you know, program and everything, you know.
Sir, you mentioned that you were involved in drugs inside the prison system, are you saying you stopped using drugs since?
Yes, sir.
And how long have you been off drugs or clean?
About a year and a half. Or a little bit more, about a year and a half.
And what sort of programming are you doing, or self-programming, or self-management to stop drugs? What are you doing?
I go to NA and AA, and I got certificates, and I stay busy, you know. I work inside the prison, the yard, where the unit, where I'm at.
And I'm just asking on a personal level, have you had struggles staying clean? Because we understand it's not always easy to get off drugs or alcohol.
Oh, no, no. It was hard. You know, I mean, I just made that decision for, you know, like I said, getting old, it's a new generation in prison and everything. I just stopped, you know, it was hard. But when I was arrested, I even told SSU, you know, I can get you every week if I wanted to, you know.
Well, I appreciate your commitment to sobriety. That's always a good sign. I stated you have moderate programming inside the Department of Corrections. I have at least what was written down on your progress report, 6 different pieces of programming to include your GED and substance abuse education. Did you finish your GED?
No, not yet. I got one more course. But I completed, you know, math and history and everything. I just had a problem with one course.
You've had substance abuse education. Was that useful to you? I recognize it was a while back, though.
No, and lately I've been going to substance abuse, even though I'm not using, I still go.
Yeah, anything that's too decent there. One second, sir. You have release plans that include, it states that you have been accepted into Victory Outreach. How recent was that?
It's been like 3 months.
And you would like an interstate compact to live in El Paso, Texas, is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
I had a follow-up question, but it's more from my understanding about the correction system. You said that you, and I'm not talking about names and specific stuff, but you said that you're involved in selling drugs inside the prison system. In general, when you're involved in that, how are you paid for doing that?
With in prison or with store?
Oh, with store credit? Or with...
No, with commissary.
Commissary.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. It's just a general question. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Yes, sir, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, I see that you had some discipline where you in programming in July of, this looks like you had July 26th of 2016 where you received some tickets. You recall that, sir?
Yes, sir.
And one of the statements that I have here in the inmate disciplinary report it says that, stated if you are housed at the Barque unit, you would kill Chomo. Is that a person or is that, what does that mean? What do you mean by that?
Oh, no, that's how I was saying earlier. I was mad at the sergeant and FSL, you know, but I was just mad when I, yes, sir.
Is that what Chomo means?
Yes, I said if I was housed at the Barshi, I was just tired of living in a dorm, and I said if I was housed at Barshi, I would kill Chomo. That means a child molester. Because you got a lot of sex offenders there on that yard.
It also said that you're very, very verbally aggressive and threatening to assault the officer. Why were you doing that?
Well, at the time I wasn't thinking, and it was Sergeant Vasquez who was in charge of SSU. But he went and spoke to me when they took me to Rams. About a week later, he went and spoke to me, and he even said that thing didn't even sound like me. He said, you're real mellow, you're real quiet. But I was just mad. I was tired of the yard. And then my father had just passed away. Well, they were having problems with my father. He got that disease, Alzheimer's, and every time I would call to the house and they would put him on the phone, he would recognize who he was talking to. So I was just, you know, frustrated. I didn't mean no harm.
Go ahead, I'm sorry, sir.
But I didn't mean no harm to the sergeant. No, I didn't mean no harm to them people down in the yard, you know. There's a lot of them, you know. I mean, you know, you don't know who you live with, you know, on that yard, you know. I just got tired, sir. You know, I'll be honest. You know, you get up in the morning at 3 o'clock in the morning and you see two people in the shower, you know. I'm not getting old. And that's why I was frustrated, you know.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any other questions for Mr. Degalalo? Yes, Dr. Wright.
Thank you, Mr. Duranis. Sir, you mentioned your granddaughter several times. Do you have any other relatives aside from your granddaughter who support you at this time, sir?
My sister Dolores, she's a little bit older than me, you know. She writes to me and everything.
Where does she live? Does she live in Arizona or Texas? Where does she reside, your sister?
She resides in El Paso, Texas.
Okay, and your granddaughter also resides there, sir?
Yes, sir.
And back to the original offense itself, and maybe this has already been told, but what were you doing in Arizona at that time? Because you had been in Texas, you were from Texas, so what brought you to Arizona?
I came over here with a friend, you know, to pick up drugs.
And you were going to carry them back to Texas if you were successful? That was the reason that you were here, sir?
Yes, sir.
So what happened? Law enforcement just caught you and you were arrested. What happened after the offense itself? What happened to you, sir?
No, the drugs, the drugs that I came to pick up, the person that came to me, we went to a motel and we were getting ready to go back to El Paso. And when I went in the shower to shower, he left and took the drugs, stole the drugs and everything. So he left me in debt with the people that I was supposed to take the drugs. So that's when I committed the armed robbery to make up for the, I never got caught. I went to a pass on liberty and I got arrested for outfit, and that's when I was there, you know. On one of the visits there in the county jail, my mom and dad were trying to take me out on bail. And I told them I didn't want to get out there. I wanted to talk to an investigator, and I told my mom and my dad, you know, about the murder. But I didn't even know if I had killed them, the victim, you know. And that's when my father called a friend that used to work in the district attorney's office, and he came and spoke to me, and I told him about the homicide and the robbery.
So let me just ask one other question, and I'll leave it. I'm jumping forward now to today. So if this bill were to reach you, you would go to that halfway house, and then you would petition with a interstate compact to go to Texas. So so why did you select the halfway house that you selected, sir, where you might reside in Arizona, sir? Why did you select that one?
Because that's the one that, out of all of them that my COP helped me out, that's the one that accepted me, but I'm willing to go anywhere in a halfway house. And participate in whatever programs they have and everything, you know.
Okay, sir. I think that'll be my last question at this time. Thank you so very much, sir.
Thank you,
Honorable Mr. Kamala, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Dr. Ray. Any further questions? Okay, Mr. Regalado, I'm going to ask on principle if we have any supporters here in the hearing room. I don't see any supporters. We don't have any on the telephone right now. We do have a victim's representative on the telephone right now. So, Ms. Guante?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I beg your pardon?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you state your name for the record?
My name is Sarah Butel Guante, and Alex Butel was my father.
Okay, ma'am. And what would you like to share with the board today, or would you like to share anything with the board today?
I just want Mr. Regalado to know that he has had the luxury of getting old. He wants to see his granddaughter. My father has two grandsons that he never knew. Okay, and he never got to know him. We are constantly paying for your crimes, Mr. Regalado. We don't get a chance at parole. You say you're sorry for what you did. You didn't mean to do it.
I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second.
But something you've never stopped paying for.
I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second, and I do appreciate what you're saying, with total respect, but I need you to address the board. It's a matter of board protocol that you don't get into a dialogue with the inmate directly. But please continue.
Well, what is it you need from me, sir?
No, ma'am.
What is it that
I think what you were saying was completely on point. I was just saying that we try to avoid getting into direct dialogues between the victim and the inmate. But I was asking, would you like to share with the board? Certainly what you were saying was well received. So is it, you may continue.
Yes, sir. It's just my personal preference and the preference of my family that Mr. Regalado stays exactly where he is.
Thank you, ma'am.
Of course, you gentlemen will come to your own conclusions, but if I'm limited to that, then that is obviously what my family and myself would prefer that happen to him.
Okay. Now, I want to continue this. You're not limited to what you're saying today before the board. All I'm saying is we're preventing a dialogue between you and the inmate. So it's the information that you're passing to the board. So is there anything else you would like to say?
No, I don't think so, because frankly, it's a little too emotional for me to accept to any of you what my family has gone through all these years as a result of Mr. Regalado's actions. Her mother was 89 when she died, and she died alone without my dad being there. And I don't know if that means anything to any of you, but it made me great feel proud. So, you gentlemen are going to do what you're going to do.
Well, ma'am, we do appreciate what you have to share with the board today. And we do care about the concerns of victims when we have these hearings. The only thing I was speaking to was our protocol in terms of individuals.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am. But we do appreciate what you had to say today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Regalado, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already shared with the board, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before we deliberate?
No, sir.
So thank you, Mr. Regalado. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself on the open meeting laws in Arizona. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I will begin by stating that I certainly appreciate that Mr. Regalado has pursued programming that he states that he has stopped using drugs inside the Department of Corrections in the last year and a half and is taking measures to deal with his, with what would sound to be at least his drug abuse or drug addiction. He has a release plan that includes acceptance at a halfway house and hopes of interstate compact to Texas. I think I'll begin discussion by simply stating that he has a pretty extensive history of discipline inside the Department of Corrections leading up to as recently as 2017. And it sounds like that his decision to stay clean from drugs is about that old too, so it's fairly fresh. We have recent discipline. We have him getting off of drugs only in the last year and a half. And at this point, I'm not finding him a suitable candidate for regular parole, absolute discharge or home arrest, but I think that's where I'll begin the discussion. Yes, Doctor.
Yes, I would agree with you with your conclusion. I thought that he, as one of the things that we always take into consideration as citizens of the state of Arizona and when individuals come before this board, and that is the victim, and I think that the victim has spoken this morning for she and her family, and you certainly appreciate that. I know one of the first things that he said was that he was remorse, but I just didn't get that feeling in listening to him. I just didn't get it. I know he said it, but I just didn't feel that it was sincere from him. And until I can feel that, I just cannot be in favor of granting him any type of release at this time, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. And I want to thank you, as I often thank my fellow board members, for filling in some gaps. I do want to apologize for not mentioning the victim first. I think I got a little fixated on looking at the inmate's history and Mr. Regalado's history and whether or not that I thought it was suitable for parole or home arrest, but absolutely, as one voting board member, I never want to forget, regardless of how we vote or how we arrive at our conclusions, the effect that these terrible cases, these awful violent crimes, and the lifelong effect that it has on the families and the survivors. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is regarding Mr. Luis F. Regalado, ADC number 044652. The motion is to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest, and based on the fact that the case did happen in 1984, or after July 1st, 1984, I'm going to ask for a 1-year set off, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Agree.
Seconded by Mr. Neal. Agreed upon by Dr. Wright and Mr. Johnson. Again, I ask for a 1-year set off. Release type denied is 412A411 and home arrest. And the reasons are as follows. It's a serious and violent offense, loss of human life, trauma to the victim, serious bodily injury. There was violation of previous probation and parole and not unrelated to this case. History of continued substance abuse up until a year and a half ago. Prior criminal history. Poor institutional behavior. Recent disciplinary infractions, being as that it was within the last 2 years. So lack of programming, because there has not been much in recent years. And as far as presence here in the hearing room or letters, I don't have much direct family or community support system. Is there anything else that fellow board members wish to add? Okay, Mr. Regalado, the board has voted unanimously to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. You'll be certified for another parole hearing in approximately 1 year. Did you hear our reasons for denial, sir?
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you appearing before the board today. Thank you for being so cooperative, and this will bring our hearing to a close. If you could, please give the defendant your CO3. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.